And now,
great to be back.
Back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
Awesome.
And your host, Bill Frank.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Bill Frank. When you think of transformational businesses, you might think of Google, Facebook, Apple, or Amazon. These four businesses, however, may be the tip of the iceberg. My next guest believes now is the best time ever to build a transformational business. Four digital technologies make launching a revolutionary business possible. We'll discuss the implications to entrepreneurs, the economy, the middle class, and to society in general from his book, Moonshot, Game-Changing Strategies to Build Billion-Dollar Businesses. John Sculley is best known as the former CEO of Apple from 1983 to 1993. Prior to Apple, John was president of Pepsi and the creator of the Pepsi Challenge. Now he's a partner at Sculley Brothers LLC, a company that he and his brothers started to revolutionize healthcare in the United States. John got his bachelor's degree from Brown University, his MBA from Wharton. Joining us from sunny Florida, welcome to the show, John. How are you today?
I'm just fine, Bill. Thank you for inviting me to be on your show.
Well, thank you. And enjoyed your book. Enjoyed, of course, I've been an Apple fanboy for years, going way back to 1984 and the original 128 Macintosh. But I want to talk to you more about your book and about your thesis of these game-changing strategies and these billion-dollar businesses, because there's been a flurry of businesses whose market cap has exceeded $1 billion recently. Companies like Uber, Airbnb, Flipkart in India, which many people may not know about, and Tesla. All of these companies actually have a market capitalization in excess of $10 billion. Now, Reid Hoffman, who is the CEO of LinkedIn, said, "Scale, not cash flow, is the most important measure of a company's promise." I'm having a little deja vu all over again because this reminds me of the race for eyeballs in the early 2000s. Are we experiencing another tech bubble?
I really don't think so. And just to give you a context, Uber just recently raised $1.3 billion, which gives them a $41 billion market value, and they're still a private company. So the question is, did those investors overpay? And my sense is they probably did not overpay. And Airbnb and Flipkart, which is an India e-commerce company, and Tesla all have something in common. And that is, we are seeing a phenomenon that I have never seen in my business working lifetime before, which is a market power shift from large incumbent, very successful companies who are seeing their power being shifted to new companies where customers are in control. Because of all of these enabling technologies, customers are now paying more attention, Bill, to the opinions of other customers, whether it's product ratings, service ratings, links, referrals, than they are to the strong established business positions of large incumbents. And it's why these companies that no one had even heard of in many cases just a few years ago are now worth tens of billions of dollars.
Well, that's interesting, but it also raises the challenge that people's tastes change on sometimes on a whim, and what's in today may be out tomorrow. How does that play into this new business paradigm?
Still comes back to customers. Jeff Bezos has famously said that my customers are absolutely loyal until somebody comes along and offers them a better deal. So the reality is that part of being customers in control means that they can be a little bit fickle. Someone comes along with something better, and they will shift to it. But when you build a company like Uber or Airbnb, it isn't just putting up a website and getting people excited about something new and cool. They are building a new kind of infrastructure, an infrastructure that is taking advantage of cloud computing, of mobility, of data analytics. And it's enabling them, for example, let's take Uber. What's the experience that makes it such a successful company? You go to a crowded city at a difficult time of day to get a taxi cab, and you go to Uber and say, "I want to get an Uber black car." You're pretty sure that you're going to get one in 5 to 7 minutes. You can watch on your screen the black car that responds to your request and see how many minutes it is away from you. When you get in, you don't have to think about how do I pay, what's the tip going to be. All of that's done seamlessly for you in the background because you signed up as an Uber member. So that's an example of how we're getting much better, much different customer experiences in pretty old-fashioned industries, hailing a taxi cab. or Tesla. Imagine if Tesla, Bill, had gone to General Motors or Ford and said, I want to work with you to build a new electric car. We probably still wouldn't see the car on the market. Yet Tesla went out and they said, we're going to take this risk on ourselves. We'll build it. They had a genius with Elon Musk. He figured out how to do it. People believed in him. And Tesla now has half the market cap of General Motors. Just think of that. Half the value of General Motors in a brand new car company.
It is remarkable. And General Motors, remember, has the Volt. So I'm not sure they would have been too accepting of an all-electric car to begin with. My guest is John Sculley, author of the book Moonshot. And John, you've always been a techno-optimist. I mean, ever since going all the way back to Apple. So you say in the book, now is the best time in history to launch revolutionary businesses. You've alluded to some of the reasons why. Can you zero in and explain exactly what's coming together to make this the best time in history to start a business?
Well, I think there are two big driving forces. The first is the ability to give a customer experience that can be exceptional versus anything that came before. So people will say about OpenTable, to give a different example, gee, the experience of using that service is so simple. It's so pleasant. I love that service. That's part of it, is the ability to come up with very differentiated, much better services, taking advantage of cloud computing and mobility and data analytics. The second thing is what McKinsey & Company, one of the most famous consulting firms in the world, has called the digitization of work. And if you just go online and Google the Internet of Things, the Internet of Things is a multi-trillion-dollar industry. It's going to be the biggest industry in the world in the 2020s. So what is it? Internet of Things are billions, tens of billions of miniaturized wireless sensors that are going to be built into everything. The first example of that is in manufacturing. We're seeing manufacturing come back to America. Not the jobs. A lot of this is being done with automation, but there are still skilled jobs for many people in the new era of manufacturing. And here's what's really interesting. Do you know that Volkswagen is now building, using the most advanced digitization of work technologies? They're building factories in the U.S. to export product to Germany. I mean, would anyone have ever speculated that a German company would be building products in the U.S., not just for the U.S. market, but to export back to Germany? So there are things that are happening where the stars are aligning, and it's creating the opportunity for new companies or reinventing old companies in incredibly powerful ways, first with new experiences for the customer, which are blowing the more established companies away. And the second thing is the digitization of work means that work can be done at a fraction of the cost. And it's not about shipping jobs overseas. It's about automation replacing more and more jobs, even the skilled jobs.
Well, it's very compelling, John, and I go with you on a lot of what you're saying, but I want to stop you and just come back to reality for a moment, because most startups fail. So are you overstating it to urge people to build billion-dollar businesses?
Most startups do fail. The failure rate is very high. But the reality is, what kind of businesses are most startups building? Most startups are started by people who have never built a company before. They are startups that miss some of the absolutely key things. I believe that the entrepreneurial economy is not only the most exciting future of America, it's the only future for the U.S. economy. Large businesses don't create jobs. Government doesn't create jobs. The only jobs that are created anymore are from smaller and medium-sized companies, and particularly the new companies. But I'm talking about people who do have domain expertise, who know an industry, but have the imagination and the courage to want to go out and say there has to be a better way. And you don't need to have, you know, a million new startup companies to change the economy. You only need thousands of successful companies. And that's a totally realistic goal, because a lot of people who want to be entrepreneurs may not actually work for a breakthrough company like a Tesla or an Airbnb or an Uber, but they might actually work for a supplier somewhere in the value chain of that industry, or they may go work for those companies and become an employee of those companies. They may not even be a full-time employee. They may actually be an independent contractor and be able to work virtually from home. So the whole idea of the reinvention of work is aligned with this idea of creating multi-billion dollar businesses that, as we say in the technology world, disintermediate, meaning replace what has been there before. And my reason I wrote Moonshot, Bill, was that I said, you know, I've had a chance to experience this firsthand, work with some of the most talented people. What we all learn, me included, is that your big learning comes from your mistakes, not from your successes. And in the U.S., our big differentiation from the rest of the world is we look at making mistakes as failures, even big failures, as a learning experience. No one else in the world culturally looks at it that way. And it's still one of the major reasons why so much innovation still occurs in the U.S. And really trying to pass on to the next generation a feeling of optimism that America's days ahead can be great, but it isn't going to be more repetition of what we have done in the past in terms of large industrial companies. It's going to be entrepreneurial companies, and it's going to be companies that can move fast, that are flexible, that are willing to take risks and do things that are very much in the character of what the best entrepreneurs have always had to do.
It's a very optimistic output. My guest is John Sculley, author of the book Moonshot, Game-Changing Strategies to Build Billion-Dollar Businesses. And John, in that last answer, it was packed with so much information, but I want to come back to the whole issue of jobs. Because, you know, here in the United States, we're feeling a crunch in middle America. The Pew Research Organization found that people identifying themselves as middle class has fallen 9 percentage points down to about 44% between the years 2008-2012. Those were the recession years. The same four horsemen of digital technologies that are making business transformation so attractive, wireless sensors, mobile devices, big data, cloud computing, they're also having a real negative impact on employment. Automation and expert systems really perform tasks faster, cheaper, and more accurately than middle managers once did. So from where will tomorrow's middle-class jobs come?
It is true that there are some forces which are putting a lot of pressure on eliminating jobs as we've known them. If you go back 30 or 40 years ago, we saw the traditional blue-collar jobs in factories, lifetime employment disappear. We are now exposed that the higher skilled middle manager jobs are also at some risk. They aren't all going to go away, but a lot of them will. And here's why. Middle managers in every organization of any substantial size are given one clear authority, and that authority is to say no. And yet to build transformative businesses, you have to have decision makers who have the authority to say yes. That's what risk takers and entrepreneurs always do. So for those middle managers who have medium to higher skills, the reality is that a lot of this technology is going to reinvent their job, and many of those jobs will disappear. So it presents a real problem. How can you have a middle-class economy where people have had the luxury of discretionary income to go out and buy goods and services and then say a lot of those jobs are going to disappear? I think the answer is that you need to look to Asia and see the several billion people who aspire to be in the middle class. But their model of the middle class is quite different than our model of the middle class. They aspire to the same thing. They want transportation of their own. They want their own place to live, an attractive neighborhood. They want goods and services. But they have to be able to find alternatives at much more attractive price points. And so what's happened in the U.S., is that we have let the prices of everything, whether it's education, whether it's houses, whether it's automobiles, you know, creep up to the point where we are living on credit, and it's not sustainable for a long period into the future. The innovation to do things frugally, I think, is going to find its way back to the U.S. I do believe that there are many opportunities with these technologies that you referred to, to find cheaper, faster, better ways to do things. And I think that we as Americans can get a good insight if we look at how the young millennials, the people who are in their 20s, are thinking about their future. And you'll discover they call it the sharing economy. They don't have to own something to keep score of how well they're doing in life. They can rent it. You know, so you see Lyft, you see Uber, you see Airbnb. They don't have to own something. They just go out and rent it. We're also seeing that people are willing to make a trade-off. They will spend money on something that's expensive, like an iPhone, and then they'll turn around and they'll go to a store like Uniqlo. You may or may not have heard of that store, but phenomenal store. I buy a large number of my clothes there. And for a few hundred dollars, you can get completely outfitted with many pairs of trousers and shirts, underwear, and so forth. So there are alternatives of high quality for products and services that are emerging in the U.S., but these ideas, in many cases, are coming from Asia, other parts of the world. So the globalization in the past has been about outsourcing, losing jobs to India and China and other countries. I think in the future we're going to see many resourceful, lower-priced products and services finding their way into the U.S. and inspiring us here in the U.S. that entrepreneurs can actually build products that are cheaper, faster, better. And we may find an affordable middle-class model that is quite different than the one which we're clearly spending our way into debt and just doesn't work anymore.
My guest is John Sculley, author of the book Moonshot, Game-Changing Strategy of Billion-Dollar Businesses. And John, I have to ask you, what one thing do you see differently now that you've written the book Moonshot?
Well, I think what helps any author is that when you write a book, you want to be able to have at least one overpowering message that is just crystal clear, and people can either agree with it or disagree with it, but you try to put as much supporting evidence there as possible to make your case. And the thing that has become clear to me since I wrote the book, and I'm an investor and mentor about 15 different companies, is that this market power shift to customers in control. You mentioned Reid Hoffman, who's the founder of LinkedIn, saying it's all about scale. Well, scale means the network effect, customers telling other customers about this cool product or service. So scale is something that is built into the DNA of these very successful new entrepreneurial companies. And it only underscores that the message I picked in Moonshot is looking more and more real.
That is great. My guest has been John Sculley, author of the book Moonshot. John, if you've piqued the interest of some of my listeners, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
You can go to Amazon. You can also go for a whole video series that has interviews over 10 hours worth with some of the most successful entrepreneurs that I've worked with. And that can be found at johnsculley.com, johnsculley.com. And this will give you access to the book or to the videos.
That is great, John. It has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Great. Thank you very much, Bill. I really enjoyed it.